Do you guys know what soap is? Soap. You guys know what that is? If I was talking to a bunch of seventh graders, they wouldn't know what it was, right? Soap keeps you clean, right? I'm going to talk about a different soap than the cleaning type. I came across this years ago. Maybe you already know about this. It's a kind of a way to study scripture. Who, raise your hand, who's all heard of soap with studying the Bible? Just a couple, okay. All right. Fun. You guys are gonna learn something today. All right, I was worried I was just going to be talking to nobody up here, but here we go. Ready? Write this down. Soap. S stands for Scripture. Okay? What are we reading? What passage are you reading? It's good to look up something in the Bible, in an actual Bible, right? But write it down, rewrite it with your hand writing, rewrite it, okay? So that's S, Scripture. O stands for observation, okay? Observation, write down some key words that stand out to you. Maybe some things that you have already kind of observed before. Maybe somebody else has pointed this out to you. Or maybe just that word just really stands out and you're not sure why. Or that phrase stands out. So observe. A stands for application. So we want to make sure that we are aware that Scripture was written for a specific context and for a specific audience, right? It was written for us, but not necessarily to us, okay? But with applying, with this application part, this A, we want to see how we can go ahead and apply that to our lives. It's in the Word. It's in the word application, right? How does the Bible passage we are studying encourage us to live in ways that are glorifying God? In what ways does the Scripture inspire us to follow God with all of our hearts? And that is the beautiful thing of applying God's Word to our lives. It's how Scripture can truly come alive through our actions. So the final letter is P. That's how you spell soap, S-O-A-P. The P stands for prayer. Nothing we do is complete without talking to God. We need to talk to God about what we're doing, the decisions that we're making, the things going on in our life. That includes what we are reading in the Bible. Yeah, that's God's words, right? But what else is God saying to you at that moment while you're reading it? Okay? So let's all apply some soap today, all right? So get out your bar of soap. We're gonna do this, okay? Bruce just read 3 verses, and we're gonna read those again. And I would like us to do this soap together. All right? So we're going to go one verse at a time here, and then we'll kind of break it down. And I can allow you guys to share if you would like. Okay? I'll do that. First verse here in verse 3. Cool. It says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Next verse says, he determines the number of the stars and he calls them each by name. Verse 5 says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. Maybe right now you didn't have time or a piece of paper or a pencil or to write stuff down in your own handwriting. I encourage you to do that. But what are some observations? What are some things that stick out? If you want to raise your hand and share what stuck out in those three verses to you, you can go ahead and do that. He heals. Yes. Yes, brokenhearted. Yes. Anything? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The stars, those things in the night sky, God knows them all. He's numbered them. He's named them. And those are insignificant compared to us. He knows us. Anything else? Yeah. His understanding never ends. Yes. Yeah, his love never fails. When I first read this, brokenhearted definitely stuck out to me. And at the very end, his understanding has no limits. I don't know about you, but I've been brokenhearted. Not just, you know, from my middle school crush, right? But in life, yesterday, last week. We as humans are flawed, right? We have sin. That makes us broken. That makes each and every one of us broken. And later we're going to get to that because it's pretty cool what God does with brokenness. But have you guys seen any messiness or brokenness maybe in the world? Maybe as you're walking up the parking lot here. I don't know if you came in this door or maybe the door down below. But over here, you can see evidence of brokenness, right? Of mess. In the parking lot, I cleared off this morning, a bunch of sticks and logs and just debris so that your tires wouldn't be popped, right? You're welcome. There's a mess out there. And yes, we are out of a drought, right? Amen to that. But it comes with a mess, right? Some of it's beautiful. When the snow comes down and covers everything, and everything's white and pure, it's so beautiful, right? Last week, Dave did a sermon on snow, white as snow, and we posted it online. I don't know if you guys were able to go watch that, but it's on Facebook if you want to go watch that. But snow and what happens after it's done snowing is quite a mess, right? And I don't want to do that whole application of deconstructing what Dave preached last week about snow being, you know, white as snow in the Bible of being pure and covering everything. I'm not saying, oh, it all turns to mess, right? But there's a mess out there in nature, and there's a mess in us. There's a mess in you. There's brokenness. It says in verse 3, he binds up their wounds. There's been a fair amount of sicknesses and illnesses in this church. Surgeries happening to fix stuff, right? God heals. God heals. We're gonna move on to the application part of this. So the A. This section of scripture, like I said earlier, wasn't necessarily written to you and me. It's written for us to read, right? But it had an audience. We find out the audience in verse 1 of this passage. Verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, how good it is to sing praises to our God." That's amazing, right? "How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel." We got an audience and a context right there, right? The brokenness of Israel at the time. Building up Jerusalem. Building up his people. We're his people too, right? And then later, the next verse, he talks about healing the broken. So, more of application. How can we apply these verses, these specific three verses, to our lives? Like, one thing that I pointed out was the brokenness, the brokenhearted. There's a lot of pain maybe in your life, in the lives of your neighbors. And God wants us to rely on him. God wants us to see him as the answer, as the thing that heals and binds up our wounds. So we need to let people know, right? We can't keep that to ourselves. That would be incredibly selfish of us. If you had an actual bar of soap and you used it and your neighbor didn't have any soap, sharing it might be a little gross, right? But that's not what God is about. God is not for you to keep to yourself. A relationship with Jesus is not something just meant for you. It's meant to be shared. So in this world, we see a lot of brokenness. We see a lot of hurt. And we've got the cure. We've got the ointment. We've got the Band-Aid. We've got the treatment. God doesn't promise a happy and unbroken life after we know him, right? But we have something, somebody to rely on. And that is incredibly important. I have a couple sticks here. Hold on. Couple sticks. So, this stick broke down. It was in the parking lot. If you inspect this stick, you can tell that it's not doing so good. Not only is it separate from the tree, but on the inside, it's not healthy. The stick was already dying, right? And all it took was some snow, some rain, some wind, and down it came, right? I hope maybe you're catching on to the application or the illustration I'm doing right now. This piece came down also. It looks pretty healthy inside. But it came down. The weight of the world around us, no matter how healthy we are, we can become broken. We need something to help us, something to help clean us up. I hope you're like this log. Actually, I hope you're in the log that's in the tree, right? Still alive. But I hope you're kind of like this log. A good situation, a healthy situation, right? You're with God, you're growing with God. Instead of like this log that was going to come down really quickly. I don't know. There's something there. Are you tracking with me? All right. Both of these logs are leaving quite the mess, even on stage here. But God can come and clean it up. Or a vacuum. I have another scripture here that ties along with this. It's found in Psalm 46. It's 11 verses here. Let's read through this. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. And the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." I hope that you know that you have a fortress with God. You are not easily broken like these limbs. God is your fortress. I love this verse 10, beginning part of it. The "be still and know that I am God." When I was in high school and college, I was in a choir with my wife, and we had this song. Did you sing this song too? Yeah. But it was just be still and know that I am God. Not me. God is speaking. He's telling us, don't worry. Don't fret about falling. Don't fret about the things in life that are getting in your way, the brokenness that is happening around you and to you. Just be still and rely on God. He is our fortress. I kind of want to wrap things up with this verse, these verses in Romans. Romans 3:22 through 24 says, "We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins." It's the gospel summed up, right? That's what the whole thing is about. We have a brokenness, like we mentioned before, sin. Sin separates us from God, right? Sin is all-consuming at some points, right? Have you guys ever been trapped by sin? Do you guys know anybody that just can't get out of it? Sin separates us. But that's why there's Jesus. No matter who you are, no matter what your background is, belief in Jesus, belief in God, that's all there is. That's all you need, right? Trust, rely on God, believe in him. And your life will be perfect, right? No. But we have him. We have him for eternity, which is amazing, but we have him to rely on. People fall short. God does not. So I'm going to close with prayer, and we're going to have the worship team come up. But I just want to invite you, if you need to make a decision for God, if you need to make a decision to accept the gift that God gave with Jesus coming down and freeing us from sin, from our sin, our mistakes, our brokenness, if you need to make that decision or talk about it, or if you'd like to talk to me or Bruce or Dave Lombard about how to share that with your friends and family, I would love to talk with you guys about that. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day, this place, these people around us, that we are able to gather together, pray for each other, strengthen each other, that we can refocus on you each week, each day, make you the center of our day. Make yourself the center of our lives, God, that we can focus on you and just rely on you. We don't have to make it about our own strength. We can just rely on you. I pray these things in your son's name. Amen.